Hello to everyone again at Why Jesus, and hello to my Zoomies as well. As I said a minute ago, we are going to talk about prayer and we're going to actually do it. So, for those of you that are at home, you'll have to probably do this on your own because you won't be able to hear what's going on here. But I am going to go through a couple things. If we look at the Gospel of Matthew, and this is a very familiar chapter 7, verse 7, very familiar scripture. And let's see, Matthew 7, not 11. 7, verse 7, let me just read it. And all prior to this scripture is all the words of Jesus, right? So in verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And then it goes on to describe what God is as a good father. He is a good father. So when we ask of him something that is beneficial for his glory, our growth, others, he does answer, right? And because he's a good father. And a lot of times, this scripture is misused, especially for those that are, the prosperity, name it and claim it believers, because they try to make this fit into whatever they ask that they'll receive it. You want a Cadillac, you can have a Cadillac, and that is not the purpose of prayer, is to get something for yourself, right? We know that at this church, but I recently saw an interview with a family member that was related to one of these high-powered, very, very wealthy ministries of that nature, of the name it, claim it, prosperity gospel, and all that, which to me, and we know, is a false gospel, right? It doesn't take away that God is a good father, but he's not about a father that indulges his children. It is always for the glory of Jesus Christ, and it is always for others or for our own growth, right? So, anyways, this particular family member was awakened to the fact that that gospel was a false gospel. And it was a family business, you know what I mean? And everything was about family. So it took a lot of guts, for him to depart. And now he does preach the whole full gospel about what benefit there is in suffering, about, the other side of things. And it was a really powerful thing because one of their primary focuses was on healing, faith healing. And, if people didn't get healed, it was because they didn't have enough faith and so on and so forth. And he re started reading the Gospels, not just what was handpicked by those that surrounded him, but for himself. And he saw how Jesus healed in the Gospels without anything required of the person that was healed. And so it was like a light went on. And so, praise God. That encouraged me because oftentimes I see that kind of person entrapped in something that is deceiving as well as not true, and it's detrimental to the name of Christ and to the body of Christ. So that was a really good testimony. But when we look at the scripture, we know that when we ask of the Lord and he says it'll be given to you, that it must be in the context of it be our request being aligned with the Word of God and with the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, that's elementary for us, but it's a good reminder. And then, it talks about when things are aligned with God's will, he will grant those things, right? And that When we ask, we sometimes have to go beyond asking. We need to put more energy in our prayers, right? And we need to seek, which means we are looking to discover the will of God, and we are looking to discover how to pray for a situation or individual, right? And then again, lastly, it talks about knocking, and that again is a little bit more energetic, more focused, more determined, more, you know, when you're knocking, you're banging, you know what I mean? You're not just sitting outside and asking. You are going forward with the strength of the Holy Spirit, and your spirit, when you are born again, is the spirit that perseveres. And sometimes we find that war between how we feel or what we think with our spirit, right? The flesh wars against the spirit. And so, again, remember when those that ask in prayer and in the scripture in verse 11 or verse 10, it says, you know, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? And we talked about that, how certain fish look like serpents, but they're fish, not serpents, you know, and that, you know, when he asks for bread, you know, will he give him a stone? Well, the bread at the time did look like stone, you know, his whole grain, right? And so it looked like stone, but God gives us what we can digest. He doesn't fake us out. He doesn't trip us up. He doesn't, you know, deceive us or, wink at our requests and do something different that is going to oppose his purposes and his will. So with that being said, I do want to just talk about that a little bit as we go on. Ever since the beginning of scripture, even in as recent as Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, you can write that as a reference. Now, we know this is on the heels of creation, right? But it says in verse 26 of Genesis 4, at that time, people began to pray to the Lord. So prayer is from the beginning and the end of all of scripture. And we see in the beginning, we have the creation. In the end, we have the new creation. And all in between there is all manner of examples of those who pray, you know. So from very early on, they began to pray to the Lord, to seek the Lord. People began to seek the Lord because they're recognizing who Creator is, right? The Bible itself contains 50 approximately long, lengthy prayers and about 100 shorter prayers, which is a lot, right? And like I said, showing prayer or doing prayer is way more important than telling prayer. So this is just very simple to bring us to that point. Now, last week we saw in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, how Daniel practiced prayer three times a day, right? It was a habit or a discipline in spite of the opposition or the new laws that were passed that said if everyone had to bow down to the king's edict. And that was irreversible, you know, but he was counterculture, right? And so he prayed three times during that time. And we know the results of him asking, seeking, and knocking in those three times that he was untouched in the lion's den. And when we are in that posture, we are untouched by the enemy because our hearts are right with God. And so, again, I don't think it was just a simple prayer. He must have been really travailing in prayer because really when you think about it, a real lion and your real person and your body and the harm and danger you're facing, your fears and all those things that come into your head, and yet he trusted the Lord. We also saw too how Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed three times as well. And so we know that if that pattern is repeated here with Jesus, then we see that it was asking, can this cup pass from me? Can we avoid this happening? And then seeking, really pressing into God in a way that actually caused physical blood and water, sweat on the very brow of the Savior, you know. And, you know, he shows us when we are faced with serious things that the way out is to surrender to God. And so many people at that juncture leave Jesus. We saw that spoken of on Sunday. You know, people have a death in the family or whatever it may be. Something serious happens, and instead of doing what Jesus models for us and pressing into God and surrendering to God, because when you do that, you will get the grace to enable you to get through. And not only will you get the grace enabling you to get through, but that there will be life at the end of the thing. There will be resurrection at the end of the thing, right? So again, Daniel practiced prayer three times a day. And in verse 11 of chapter 6 of Daniel, you can write that as a reference as well. It says that Daniel was asking God for help. So we have ask, seek, knock. We talk, right? We ask, we wait, we listen, focused. We focus when we're listening. And when we're in a relationship to Jesus, our prayers accomplish much. Here's the thing. The devil don't want you praying. Your flesh don't want you praying. As our sister said a couple weeks ago, it's hard work sometimes to pray, right? But the scriptures say the prayers of the righteous accomplish much. So this is not about following a set of rules. This is not about, you know, doing just good works. This is all about our position in Christ Jesus avails much. When we see ourselves as in Christ, that in that place we live, we move about, and we have our very essence and being, that being in Christ causes us, because of his sacrifice, to be righteous, and that he infuses our prayers with his Spirit when we pray according to being in that position as being in Christ Jesus, stepping in the circle. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes you don't feel righteous. Usually it's because we step out of the circle, right? That is our position, that we are righteous in Christ Jesus. And that's where we need to find our identity, okay? This is important. We need to find our identity in our being adopted into the family of God in Christ Jesus, and stop looking to the world to validate us, because the world murdered Jesus and he was the perfect righteous one. So when you suffer insecurity, you need to step into your personhood that is founded and rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but that you are seated, your position, sitting is a position, you are seated in the heavenly places. So we have an opportunity to really, as human beings, to live in two worlds at the same time. We live on earth, and we are connected to heaven as well, which is pretty amazing, I think. Now, one of the things about prayer is that people think they have to say all these flowery, lengthy, wordy words. And it is not about a technical Christian vocabulary. It is about you are talking to God. So when you're talking to God, your demeanor should be humble, right? And acknowledging his holiness, but still knowing you're his child, that he's a good father, that when we ask of him, he will answer. He says he will. And so he doesn't lie, you know? So it is really important to understand that prayer is conversational. It's you talking to God, right? It's relational. Not only are you talking to God, but you become a good listener. We oftentimes want to rattle off what we want or desire, even if it's good, and we don't take the time to quiet ourselves and to listen. And I have to say, it takes a lot of discipline to do that. When you begin having that quiet and listening to God, how many of you know your mind is filled with all kinds of stuff that you have to keep? You have to kind of get through the clutter. You have to, no, I don't want to need the shopping list here. I know the baby needs this. I know, you know what I mean? Your mind gets fought with all these things. And you know, all you have to do is just say no to those things, shove them aside, and go back to being in Christ Jesus. You don't let those things run you. You, by your spirit and by the grace of God, run them. Oh no, thoughts, I'm taking you captive. You're gonna sit on this shelf. I can worry about the laundry later or whatever it may be. And I'm gonna focus on Jesus. And you know, sometimes it's only moments that you're focused on Jesus, but you have to bring yourself back and bring yourself back and bring yourself back. And then you start developing this habit to be a good listener. Also, too, just as a side note, when we are praying, it's really good to have your Bible with you. Because you know what? If you're poised to listen, God may speak to you through the scriptures. And if God says anything that is in or you think God is speaking to you, anything that's in contrast to the scriptures, it is not God. It's wishful thinking, or it's your own imagination, or and you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how many people have in our early days, well, I'm going to marry that person. Okay, let's see where that is in the scriptures, right? If it's God, it'll happen. If it's not God and you're tripped up and you're going to walk away because you didn't get your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your whatever you wanted and you quit God, then it's just a tragic loss. Okay, so when we're praying, we are not being technical, of course. Oftentimes our emotions are engaged when we're praying. I'm hurting for my sister or my brother in the Lord, and that's it. God uses your emotions. You're not run by your emotions, but he does use your emotions. When you have a burden for somebody, it affects your soul. You know, I mean, I don't know anybody that is a mother knows that when your kids do something and it's grievous, it affects your soul, and you have a burden and you want to pray for that, you know, and sometimes it's so big that you have to just leave it at the feet of Jesus, because it's just something you cannot manipulate, you cannot change. You just have to leave it before the Lord and trust him, you know. And that is really hard to do. It is really hard to do, but he gives us the grace to do that. So when we're praying, we're not demanding, we're not wishing for something. We are asking in a conversation. You know, Jan, I just want to thank you today for being my friend. I want to thank you, God, for being God to me. I thank you that you're a good father. You know, and he'll, you know what he'll tell you out of his word? You know, I love you. This is God's love letters to us, you know, and if you read it through the grid of punishment or shame or whatever, you need some healing, right? You need some healing because that is not God's intent. When we feel guilty, we just need to repent. If we have false guilt, which we learn through a lot of addictive family members, right? False guilt and shame, you know, shame can be just an area where we haven't been healed yet from some of our past sins, some of the sins that have been done to us as well. So we're not demanding and we're humble, but expectant. We're hopeful that God is going to acknowledge what we are discussing. You're discussing with him. It's not a formal thing all the time. You know what I mean? Just like you would sit down with anybody and let's talk. You know what? I have this problem. I don't have enough money. Well, can we talk about this, Lord? And you know what? I'm going to start. Thank you, Jesus, because I was ungrateful. I forgot that you gave me this food and you let it stretch for the week, or you supplied money for that bill, or, you know, thank you, God, that you healed a relationship or whatever. Thanksgiving is really a good part of prayer life, and so is forgiveness. And we know that by Jesus' model in the Our Father, right? You can look at that at another time. So when we're praying, we are not demanding, we're asking humbly. And we're not asking like with superstitious hope, like, oh, if I just do it this way, then God's gonna honor that. No, he's not like that. He's not like that. We ask hopeful, and that hope leads to us having faith to believe for it, you know. And how many of you know it's an accumulation sometimes? Sometimes over an issue or a person or a relationship or whatever, it's an accumulation of forgiveness. You go deeper and deeper and you get to the part where I want to be God and I want to punish, you know, instead of letting God deal with it, right? Vengeance belongs to the Lord, he says. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we can go there real quick. Okay, let's go up to verse 4 just because it involves thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do you know that you can have joy in the midst of the worst crisis you've ever faced? You know why? Because Jesus did. He suffered. He sweat that blood and sweat and all that for the joy set before him. So if we are in it, we want to understand in our spirit that this is going to pass. It's not going to stay like this. Situation is not going to stay like this forever. And I can rejoice in the midst of suffering. I know I've done it. You know, I know that works. You know, we've done it many, many times. There's places that I haven't, but for the most part, I try, you know what I mean? I remind myself of these words. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, your asking be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Same position. He will guard your heart. He will guide your thoughts. He will guard your minds, all that in Christ Jesus, through Christ and in Christ. How many of you know that anxiety, be anxious for nothing, anxiety is so permeated and infused in our culture? I don't know of very many people that are free from anxiety. And that's worry. Sometimes it's a medical condition. For a medical condition, you either need a healing from the spirit or you need to see the doctor. It's okay. We're still human. We have things, aches and pains, and you know, we don't just pretend they're not there. But that kind of anxiety that robs you of peace is not from God. You know, so find out what the source is. Is it warfare? Is it something in your body that's missing or in your brain? You're, you know, like I was telling somebody earlier this week when I went through my cancer the first time around. I mean, I sailed through. You can ask anybody. I sailed through that. But a year later, my serotonin level plummeted and I got really depressed and I had to see a doctor. So it's okay. It's not that you don't have faith. If your physical body needs something, you break an arm, you get a splint, or God heals you like you do with Loretta, right? Either way. But I'm just saying that not everything is rooted in something bad. We all have genetics, right? We all have a way of how our bodies are, how our brain works. You know, oftentimes I see this whole idea of anxiety run through families. And then, you know, it can be debilitating. So find out, you know, Lord, I would continue praying, Lord, heal me, Lord, heal me. Lord, I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. And he may lead you to just sovereignly touching you, or he may lead you to a doctor. You know, you need wisdom. Okay, enough of that. And when we're praying, it's not based on our religious so-called bias that it's up to us to fulfill things. You know, it is up to him. You know, so we have grateful hearts. We're asking, we're seeking with humility, with hope that leads to faith. And all these things mixed up together lead to character. And not just you're a good person, you're a great godly believer. You're more like Jesus. That's what we want. We want to be more like Jesus, not just a better version of ourselves. You know, and we can do that. We can present ourselves that way, but God knows what's in our heart. Okay. So again, the prescription for praying is to be grateful in our asking, to acknowledge the Lord in, you know, an attitude of worship and thanksgiving, and to communicate, okay? Not to fret, not to worry. And in the scriptures, it said, instead of worrying, pray. You want to get rid of anxiety? Pray. Breathe. Pray. Let petitions, praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. He's able. He's able. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And I'm going to wrap this up soon. No. Wait, is that right? Maybe it's 2 Timothy. Oh, you guys, I do it every time. That'll keep me humble. I do it every time, don't I? Oh, my God. Anyways. What? It is 2:1. Did I say 1:1? Oh, geez. Okay, it is 2:1. Therefore, thank you. Thank you for the body. Therefore, I exhort you, I encourage you, first of all, that supplications, you're asking God, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. So you can simply communicate and ask the Lord and pray for something, someone. You can intercede, which is a little bit more like seeking and knocking, right? Sometimes you intercede for somebody, you're laboring, your spirit is just burdened with that. Sometimes you're just shooting up a prayer while you're driving in the car and just like, Lord, so-and-so just came to my mind. Bless them today. You know what I'm saying? So whatever it is, we continue to communicate with Jesus. I guess that's really the bottom line. And it doesn't matter how you say it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if you know the scriptures yet. If you're just born again, you're going to know what to say because you're in love, right? With Jesus, he saved you. And so, I mean, if you're just saying help and it's a one word, or if you're just saying two words, thank you, it's enough. It is enough. We grow in our discipline of prayer over time. Sincere prayer. Jesus prayed sincere prayer. He focused on God's will, going back to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he focused on God's will and he was persistent. And nobody has done what Jesus did there. Nobody can, nobody ever will. He is the one and only, right? So, lastly, I'll read 1 Thessalonians. Wait, no, maybe I won't. I'll just say it. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, that's a good one. It's God's will for you to be grateful. It's God's will for you to be grateful. So, when you're praying, understand, it is God's will that you are grateful, that you are thankful. And you know what? Sometimes you have to do it in spite of all that's going around you. I mean, honestly, we'd be driving to church when our kids were young and we'd be spanking them backseat and we'd have to go in and praise the Lord, right? I'm serious. Sometimes you just have to get yourself right back in there, you know, because he's worthy. He is worthy, regardless of what is going on in our lives.
Yeah.
He's worthy, and he's able. And you know what? He wants to hear from you. In Song of Solomon, I love Song of Solomon because it's so intimate, and it's a little bit uncomfortable as well because of the language is so lovey, you know. But he says, I want to see your face. And I want to hear your voice. Wow, that makes me want to pray. Because not only am I communicating with him and asking him for something, but he desires time with me, with you, with all of you, which is amazing. And so today, I'm going to sign off here. Thank you, everyone who participated. God bless you. Amen.